batteries are becoming one of the most important technologies, enabling a cleaner, more flexible electricity grid. But building battery energy storage systems is only part of the equation. The real challenge lies in using these assets intelligently, maximizing their value while supporting grid stability in increasingly complex and fast-moving electricity markets. In this episode of the Energy Transitions podcast, we're exploring the rapidly evolving world of battery storage optimization and the growing role of AI in energy trading. To unpack this in more detail, I'm joined by Henry Taskinen, CEO and co-founder of Capello AI. Henry brings a unique perspective to one of the energy sector's most exciting intersections, where digital intelligence meets the clean energy transition. He explains how sophisticated algorithms determine when batteries should charge, discharge, or provide grid services, and why intelligent optimization can make or break the business case for energy storage investments. We also discuss the importance of protecting battery lifetime while maximizing revenue, and how AI is transforming decision-making in real time. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Henry, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure to be talking with you about quite a complex topic, and that is battery energy storage optimization and the trading of storage assets. So I think before we delve into the discussion, for those listeners who might not be familiar with the topic, can you explain what a battery asset trader actually does?
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. What does a battery energy storage system trader and optimizer do? Before answering that question, I think that we have to go back a bit. So why are batteries needed for the green energy transition? And why is the build out so rapid right now? And how do batteries benefit the grid and earn from it at the same time as well? So because we are building so much wind power and solar power, so clean energy, which is a great thing, there is also a challenge that emerges. And the challenge is that it's weather-dependent production, intermittent production. So when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing, there is a lot of production. And when not, of course, then the production drops, and it can drop quite drastically. And how the electricity system works, how the grid works, is the way that at every moment of time, production and consumption have to be balanced. And if the balance deviates too much, then grid frequency deviates, and then electricity devices stop working. So that's why it's crucial that there is always this balance between production and consumption in the grid. And now, because there is more and more renewable energy, the challenge is that the production side is more and more volatile because of the movements of the weather and changes in the patterns there. So you need some energy assets that are flexible. And what the flexibility means is that they can increase production, decrease production, increase consumption, decrease consumption, to keep the balance at every moment of every time, and to deliver this crucial service for the system operators, so transmission system operators and the wider society. And now batteries have emerged as the most cost-effective and multifunctional tool for this grid balancing, for this flexibility for the system. So batteries, of course, can start charging or discharging almost immediately, so provide this fast dispatch, or then deliver this power for longer duration of the time, depending on the duration of the storage and the state of charge. And now, because batteries are so multifunctional, they can be utilized across a variety of grid balancing services for the system operator, and they can also participate in energy trading. So buying energy when there is excess of it, so the prices are low, and then selling it, storing it first, and then selling it back to the grid when the grid needs it. So there is a deficit of it, and the prices are higher. So batteries can do this energy trading, but also participate in these grid balancing services. And now what an optimizer does and a trader does, so what we do, is to decide fully automatically how to utilize these batteries across these services to maximize the benefit for the system and value for the battery owner. Because all of these services pay different prices at different moments of time, so we need to use and choose how to use the battery across these services to maximize the net revenues for the battery owner and at the same time what it means to supply the battery power capacity and energy to the service or to the market that needed it the most. Because it's always supply and demand in these markets, and if the price is the highest, then the difference between supply of power in that market, for example, and the demand was highest as well. So the benefit for the grid is the best when we use the batteries in the markets that pay the owner the most. And now our role is to choose this every month of every day, taking into account the battery's physical characteristics, so the power rating, energy duration, warranty terms, so how much can we run the battery every day, grid limitations, there can be limited grid connection or even some different moments of time when you can use the grid connection differently, and then make these decisions in increasingly complex and fast-paced markets. So that's what an optimizer does and trader does, and then handle what we do also. We handle all the reporting on behalf of the customer that is needed for the energy markets. We provide them a dashboard that shows how the battery is used and provides transparency, of course, to the trading activity, the battery usage, to the revenues, all of the important information. And then we also handle the financial settlement for the customer. So we are, in a way, an end-to-end service to monetize the battery, try to maximize the value of it, and handle all the reporting and financial settlement on the behalf of the battery owner. So that's, in short, our role and the broader role of batteries in the energy transition.
Thanks for breaking that down for us and for providing a greater context. Clearly, battery storage is increasingly important, and there is a continuing conversation about building more battery assets. However, would you say that the conversation is also turning to how you use these assets more intelligently? Because that's actually becoming the real crux now, as markets are increasingly complex and fast-paced. That intelligence layer is surely so critical.
And I think it ties well into what we discussed in the introductory segment. So batteries, if you want to maximize the value of that investment in any market that, of course, enables this energy trading and grid balancing service that we discussed, you need to use the batteries very intelligently because it's such a complex market. Every moment there are different prices in different services. And if you use the battery in a very static, let's say non-optimal way, versus in a dynamic, closer to the most optimal way, then the difference in terms of net revenue, and then in the end, the IRR and the value of that investment can be huge, can be substantial. So for battery investments, because they are, again, so multifunctional, they're like this kind of a Swiss Army knife for the energy markets and for the grid balancing. I think that's a good analogy to use. Then it's very important how you use this multifunctional tool. And using it in only one service, for example, only one grid balancing service, or only on the energy trading side, it reduces or leaves a lot of the value on the table that the asset can actually generate. So you first of all have to participate in all of these services. And second of all, and most importantly, participate intelligently, smartly in these services. So choose where to use the battery, how does the battery activate, with which probability in the different services, how to take into account, again, the warranty terms and the grid limitations that we discussed. And every day, try to maximize the value for the battery owner. And the differences in different approaches can be the differences that make or break the investment case. So batteries are, of course, you have to procure hardware that functions, controller that can control the asset and dispatch it according to the market rules and to the instructions given. But the really crucial part is how it's utilized in the markets, when it's charged, the battery, when it's discharged, when it provides balancing services there, when do we need to manage the energy on the certain moments of time to keep the battery state of charge, not to go too close to full or empty. All of this ties crucially and critically to the investment value. So I think that if you are investing in a battery asset, you have to think about this, and you have to make the the decision of the optimizer really carefully. Looking at the track record, looking at the capabilities of the team, what the team has been able to achieve in different countries, customer references, and in general, the trading and optimization approach to maximize the value, but also manage the degradation of the battery and the physical side of it. So it's not run without any constraint, and it's not run too greedily in a way that would take a lot away from the lifetime of the facility.
That is a great segue into my next question, because I'm interested to understand how you balance maximizing the revenue that you could potentially generate from your asset, while also ensuring the maximum lifetime of your battery asset. How do you manage that balance?
For that, you of course have to understand the physical side of it. So how does the battery function? Which kind of utilization of it, or as they call in the industry term, cycling of the asset. So one cycle means one full charge and discharge of the battery in simple terms. How the cycling of the asset affects the wear of it, and then how does this tie into the warranty that the battery owner has gotten from the equipment manufacturer for the asset. And you have to take that into account and tie it into the optimization and trading decisions that you make in the market. And you need to, of course, have a view that if you have, usually there can be a yearly warranty term that you can run this number of cycles within a year, 12 months. So then you, of course, want to utilize the battery and the cycles when they are the most valuable. So you want to save cycles when the market is not so volatile, and then you want to estimate the volatility well. Use the battery more when the market is more volatile and you get more revenue from it. And of course, the grid needed the battery more as well when there is more volatility in the system. So you have to have this view, and then you have to, of course, understand as well that the faster that the cash is generated for the battery owner, the better it is for the investment and for the IRR. So the physical side you need to take into account, you need to tie in the trading decisions, and you need to have this view of the warranty term and to utilize the cycles when they are the most valuable and to save them when they are not providing so much value to the owner of the battery or to the electricity system.
Henry, I'd like to ask you about some of the hybrid projects that we're seeing coming online, because as you noted when we started the conversation, there's more and more renewables coming online, but also more hybridization, where, for example, solar is being coupled with storage. So how does that influence the space?
Yes, so my view and our view is that the biggest ramp up in the future, and we are already approaching it, for battery and storage systems will be these hybrid projects that you mentioned. So batteries next to solar farms mainly, and even batteries co-located wind farms. And hybridization is of course crucial for the solar investment itself, because let's say that you have the solar farm in Poland or in Greece or in Spain, there is already a lot of curtailment for it. Meaning that when the sun is shining, and everybody's producing in the market, in the country, then there is too much. There is excess power in the grid. So the system operator many times needs to curtail the asset. So stop the production of the power, stop the production of the energy to the grid. And because of that, there is usually money lost for the investment. And of course, energy that could have been produced wasted because it was curtailed and the production was stopped. So then when you co-locate the battery next to the solar farm, you can use the battery for storing this otherwise to be curtailed production into the storage and then bringing it to the grid later, let's say in the evening, when the sun is going down and when consumption can be increasing. So then actually delivering the energy to the grid when it's more needed, not in the middle of the day when everybody's producing. So this is the simplest and I would say very important use case for batteries next to solar farms. So storing energy and putting it back to the grid when it's more needed. Then, of course, when you co-locate the battery, let's say again with the solar farm, you can also participate to these grid balancing services that we discussed earlier. And then the question for this kind of facility is that when you optimize it, you should pre-qualify. So pre-qualification means that you show to the system operator that this facility can deliver these grid balancing services. You will pre-qualify the whole facility. So usually not only the battery or the solar, but the whole facility to these balancing services. So then the optimization question is that when you need this grid balancing activation, will you deliver it from the solar farm? Will you deliver it from the battery? How do you split the commitments? And when is it wise to use the solar farm for it? Again, to save the wear of the battery. And when you should use the battery to manage the state of charge, for example. And if you do this well, the value for the whole facility can again be much higher compared to an average strategy or static strategy, because the complexity is also higher when you optimize and trade this kind of hybrid facility, not only the battery, but also the solar farm. So we said there will be a lot of batteries next to solar farms in all of the countries where we are now operational in and will soon be operational in. And we see that, of course, the simple use case, an important use case, is to store the energy when it would be curtailed or when it wouldn't get that much value from the markets, and bring it back from the storage to the markets when it's more needed. But then the more complex use case, which can really increase the value of that facility, is to use it in this multi-market approach, or with this multi-market approach. So across these balancing markets and wholesale markets, and then decide how the facility is dispatched and which asset delivers what, and how to basically orchestrate the battery and the solar together for maximal value. So, and that's what we are already doing, for example, in Lithuania. We have also hybrid parks in Poland, in Bulgaria, under trading and optimization, soon in Greece. And then we are going to countries where the curtailment problem is a big one, as well as in these regions, for example, in Poland that we discussed. So we see that if you have a really sophisticated algorithm for hybrid park optimization trading, and we also see that there will be a lot of these batteries next to solar, then we can add unique value to the electricity system in these countries, and of course, unique value to the owner of the facility. But in short, we see that the next huge wave in battery deployment will be these co-located, so to speak, hybrid projects.
Henry, I noticed you mentioned sophisticated algorithms, and I'd like to ask you about that, because obviously these markets are highly complicated. And when you're dealing with, for example, flexibility requirements, you need real-time decision-making capabilities. So my question to you is, what kind of intelligence, whether it be in terms of digitalization capacity or the use of AI, what do you need to make this happen?
Yes. So I think this is one of the core questions of this discussion. So when you build this kind of optimization service, this trading optimization approach, and especially multi-market, so participating in the balancing markets and participating in the wholesale markets, you need to have, first of all, different components in the stack. So you need to forecast the markets well. You need to understand the uncertainties with these forecasts. So you need to forecast basically the supply and demand for these different services, where you can derive the price from. And then you need to understand the uncertainties in the estimations that you have. And then what drives it is, of course, more and more the weather. So the solar production side of things, the wind production side of things, consumption, of course. And then how is the country connected to the neighboring countries? So how are the transmission lines? How do we estimate the utilization of those for the next day? And then how do you put this all into the view of the prices, but also in the view of how the battery will be utilized the next day in these markets? So, and then you need to do this, first of all, usually in Europe, it's this day-ahead market where you do two things. So you promise the battery capacity as an insurance in a way to the system operator, that you can charge or discharge depending on your bidding with this amount of power at this moment of time if it's needed for the system. And you also already get remuneration for this promise of availability. Then, of course, you have to be available if you promise it. And then if this availability is actually utilized, so the system operator now sends a command that the battery has to be charged or discharged, there's a different energy compensation component to that as well. But in the day-ahead phase, you promise this capacity to the transmission system operator, and then you also participate in the day-ahead wholesale market. So you buy and sell energy. You buy when it's cheap and you sell when it's expensive. So you shift energy in a way that is beneficial for the system. And then you have the intraday trading, which is continuous, which happens constantly, which is very fast-paced in the intraday wholesale market, where you make this arbitrage again, so buy low and sell high, but also manage the energy of the batteries when they are activated for the markets, and you want to manage that you are not full or empty when you shouldn't be. And you put all of this together, you put the forecasting there, then you need to have decision making based on that forecasting and the uncertainties, and then you need to have this day-ahead optimization and also this intraday optimization for the continuous market. And there you have different optimization tools, forecasting tools, machine learning models to put it all together and make these decisions automatically in the markets every moment of every day. So you need a lot of course, you need to have a, as you said, digitalized approach, but you need to have a lot of automation, and not only automation, but the intelligence layer there as well, to decide how to use the batteries and to be dynamic. Because when the markets shift, you need to be on top of the condition shifting. You need to understand how to steer your trading strategy in this market environment, how to make the most, and in this different market environment, how to make the most as well. So you have to have a tight feedback loop in the optimization as well.
If you're able to get this right, though, surely this intelligence layer is making battery storage projects more bankable. You know, as you said, it boosts the value of these projects.
Yes. So for the bankability side, of course, because the optimizer and trader monetizes the asset, it provides the value for the investment. It's really crucial that they have a great track record. They know what they're doing, and they have an approach that is trustworthy, transparent, and of course provides value for the asset owner. And then behind the asset owner, provides security for the lender. And bankability is of course achieved, I see, with an optimizer trader that has these capabilities, but also usually with some kind of revenue guarantee for the asset as well. So, and what I mean by these revenue guarantees, models where, because for the lender, it's usually very important to see predictable revenue streams to be able to provide the debt financing. And the predictability is reached usually with different kinds of approaches or models. And these are called offtakes many times in the industry terms. One offtake model can be a floor arrangement, that you have a minimum net revenue that the battery will generate each month depending on the availability of the asset. And you, of course, that the minimum is guaranteed, so the revenues will be at least, net revenues will be at least that. And then there's usually some kind of upside sharing mechanism for the revenues that are going above this minimum guarantee. Then there can be models that are called tolling, where you promise completely fixed revenues, net revenues, for the asset, for the whole asset or part of the asset. So basically every month, if the facility is fully available, then you provide and you promise the same amount of revenue each month for the battery. And then the off-taker usually takes the risk and of course takes the upside, or the risk that if the market would be worse than the toll, then the downside risk there also. And tolling is in a way even more bankable sometimes than the floor, because it's completely fixed and completely predictable, of course, understanding or taking into account availability dimension. And then there is the merchant model, which means that there is no revenue guarantee, but the biggest upside potential as well. So it's every day, every month of every day, the battery is used in the markets, and the remuneration, the earnings for the battery owner, it's fully from that market participation, of course, then taking away the optimizer's cut. And then there are different structures that are tied to the day-ahead spread, for example. So the highest priced hours and the lowest priced hours, and so on. But this offtake side of things and the optimization trading together, we see provides the best bankability. So you need to have an optimizer with strong track record and then a strong financial backing from this off-taker. And that combination provides, we see, the best bankability and the best approach for project financing.
Henry, my final question to you is actually less about energy storage and more about you, because I'd very much like to know, and I'm sure our listeners would too, is your background in energy storage, or do you have a background in AI? How did you come to be at the nexus of digitalization and energy storage optimization?
Yes, so my background is actually from applied physics and computational physics. So from, I would say, in a way, applied mathematics, machine learning, and optimization, but not from energy. So my background is from a couple of years, a Finnish company. Originally, I'm from the University of Eastern Finland in terms of education. So I studied applied physics and computational physics there. Then I went into research for a bit. This research wasn't batteries yet. It was climate change modeling. So we modeled pollution in the city air, coming from factories, from traffic, from other sources, and use satellite data to model the density of the pollution, where does it flow in the next days, and where does it come from. But there I really got the spark of building something meaningful, something for the green transition, but also something where I can utilize the mathematics, optimization, and machine learning background. And I had met really talented people there and before who felt the same. So we founded Kapalo AI together with this group of people in the beginning of 2022. So we have four founders. Three are from applied physics, where I am from. One is from computer science, so it's kind of a tech background in a way. And that's where the core comes from. So the core team is from applied mathematics, applied physics, optimization, data science. And I see that the best approach is that when there is a combination of different skill sets, so people from energy, but people also outside energy who have the strong mathematical background, and then together collaborate to build something great for the industry. That has been my view, and that's a short recap of the past.
Well, Henry, I feel like you just summarized that perfectly. The fact that if we're going to meet our climate goals, we need to collaborate and just bring minds together from all fields, which is why I love this podcast. I get to speak to people like you who are in energy storage, but actually originally from applied mathematics, which is brilliant.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. And it was a pleasure to discuss, and looking forward to the future.
Thank you, Henry. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Larg, and our producer, Rian Mostert. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.